you listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
Do what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Bird stands in the corner with the barrels are straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie, draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
So I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took
the... Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
When you think that you can take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. If you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, there I am. All right, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Monday, the 27th of October, and we've got a, I'm going to pull a page out of Amy's book here and do a birthday. It is my youngest daughter's birthday today. She is, and I hate it, but she's 15 years old. So that means that there's going to be a lot of guys on the chopping block here pretty quick. Anyway, all right, let me see who all's in the chat room here. First, let's find out if we're getting out there. Let me check real quick and make sure all the settings look good. I think we're getting out. Everything looks all right. Okay, let me get back over here and check my chat room. Ah, BB Burner's got a daughter turning 15 here shortly, tomorrow. Let's see here. Why is my thingamabob not working? There it goes. All right, Concrete and Desert Rat, Detinker, Doc, Hopper, Mini, Mountain Shooter, ProSize in there again. That's good. Don't see you very often. Pumpkin Cat, Rights at Risk, Burner, some Anonymous. All right. Good deal. Well, I hope you all had a good weekend. I had an awesome weekend. We did a disaster preparedness seminar over in Vernon. Had about 45 people show up, 40, 45, and come out real good. Matter of fact, it was good enough that we're setting up a line of communication here for all like-minded preppers in the area, and we've set up a Facebook group that is strictly for the White Mountain area and their family and friends and whatever area they're in, just to share information and everything. And it's turned out real good. They're wanting me to do another one here, so I'll either do it the last weekend or next to the last weekend of November or the middle of December. So that's turned out real good. We're going to get a combat medic class out of it, so it's turning out real well, and we're glad for that. If any of you have ordered silver generators here in the last few days, hold tight with me. We're waiting on some boxes. I got a partial order in today, not nearly as many as I needed. Those will all be going out tomorrow, or Wednesday anyway. So just hang with me there, and we'll get them going just as soon as I can get some more parts in here. The weather's sure changing here in a hurry. I told you our water well was going dry. Well, on top of all that, they've had trouble with the rig, and it keeps breaking down. It's a relatively new rig, but they've just had some problems with it. And they finally got the hole punched, got the ditch dug over to the old well and everything. So hopefully by the end of this week, we'll have water just like normal people again. Let's see, a little bit of discussion about Bundy Ranch and what's going on in Utah. There's Rights at Risk. You better believe there's big problems going on up there, and it's not looking good. They're pushing pretty hard. They're pushing pretty damn hard. And it's a little scary. Rights at Risk, I'll tell Pumpkin Cat, I'll tell her that you guys said happy birthday. It's looking pretty rough here. The feds are giving everyone problems all over the country for different things. But certainly here in the Southwest, we're getting the brunt of it right now. I told you, and you guys knew this, I didn't have to tell you, but they're not near done with the Bundys or the people that were there. I got a call tonight from a guy with another group that has been approached by a production company wanting them to tell them their side of the story for what happened up there. And I told them, you guys better think about it long and hard and be careful what you say. That's going to be a very, very sticky situation there. And he said, well, if we get this done, if it looks okay, can I give them your name? And I said, well, probably not this time. We'll see some other time. And I think right now I've got more stuff on my plate than I need, and I'm not too interested in making a documentary right now. Speaking of having a full plate, I've come up with an idea, and I think that it might work for you guys. I hope it will. It'll work for me pretty well. And that is, as soon as the time changes for everybody else and ours stays the same, I think that I'm just going to go to 1 hour. I think for the next 6 months, except on Friday night. Friday night, I think we'll just stay with it and tough it out and carry it right on out. But I, Doc, I don't know if I'd go quite that far. But I think I'm just going to go to 1 hour, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Liberty Lounge will be the same. I just can't find it in my heart to cut Liberty Lounge short. So unless there's an emergency or something comes up where we have to, Liberty Lounge will remain the same. So that's what I got on my mind. That's going to put me to bed the same time that I'm going right now. So I'll be going from 9 to 10 Mountain Time instead of 8 to 11 Pacific time. I mean, 8 to 10 Pacific time. So, that's the plan. All right, stand by 1 second. Breaking news coming in here. Let's see. Just got a news deal here that said that Detective Davis, that got shot and killed last week in California, died exactly 26 years to the day that his father was shot and killed as a police officer in California. That's kind of interesting. Something Amy would get a kick out of. She likes those quinky dinks like that. Okay, it's hard to believe, out of Georgia. In Douglasville, Georgia, is right down by Atlanta, not too far from Atlanta. And there was a guy out there this last Friday voting, and he was asked to remove his hat. He said, I went by the first two ladies, and they didn't say anything. And the next lady said, sir, you're going to have to take your hat off. And he's thinking, what? What are you talking about? And this guy's a veteran. As he looked down the line there and saw another guy with a hat on and said, what's the difference between his hat and mine? And then the workers there told him that his NRA hat was perceived as being associated with the GOP and that he couldn't wear it near the voting booth. I cannot say on the air what I probably would have told the nice lady. Guy said it kind of caught me off guard, adding that he's worn the exact same hat three times to the same polling place. He said, it's ridiculous. My hat advertises my business. It's an NRA instructor hat. So he took the hat off, but he contacted the local Fox News affiliate in Atlanta, and he also contacted the State Board of Elections, which they are investigating. It should be a fairly short investigation. But the Douglas County Board of Elections supervisor explained that the decision was made out of an abundance of caution. Sounds to me like it was abundance of stupidity, is what I'm thinking. The board election supervisor said the courts have found that anything that suggests associated with the NRA in many people's perceptions is associated with the Republican Party. So in an overabundance of caution, Mr. Cobb was asked to remove the hat so that no one could interpret that we were playing any favoritism, one party versus the other. That's the dumbest damn thing I ever heard in my life. But the gal, is it a gal? Yeah, Lori Fulton, said she couldn't cite any court cases when she was asked about it, the court cases that she had alluded to, saying that there was, the courts have found that anything suggests association with the NRA. Well, she couldn't cite anything. Said there's no clear precedent at the state level prohibiting NRA apparel. Instead, she said that the policy came about a week after she consulted a colleague following an incident that took place in Douglas County earlier the same week. It started earlier in the week when a voter complained to me that a hat a man was wearing, an NRA hat, and like this other man, he took his hat off after being asked. I consulted with one of my contemporaries in another county. They determined that the NRA hat fell into the same sort of gray area. The NRA is a oh, dear. Some of this stuff is hard to read. Couldn't make it up, though, I don't think. You know it's true. And I guess they're assuming pretty seriously that there's no such thing as a Democrat that's joined the NRA. Well, I happen to know for a fact that there are some Democrats that joined the NRA. So if they wear their NRA hat to the deal, I guess that means that I don't know what that means. The You know, I get so weary of talking about some of this kind of stuff. It needs to be talked about, but God, how dumb is this? Anyway. Alright, let's move on. That one's too hard to... Here's a National Guard guy. He took his family to Walmart and got into a serious issue there and says his training kicked in and he called his mama. Oh no, that was another video. I'm sorry. It was earlier this year that the guy found himself in the middle of a potential life and death situation in Del Rio, Texas. And at the Walmart with his wife and kids, they were getting some items for a trip to the lake when the woman screamed and kind of put everything, disturbed their peaceful night there. And this National Guardman said, heard stop, put it down. And he had found the woman that said that a pretty large man holding a big fish fillet knife to her stomach. Really? Wow. This guy was Air National Guard, told the Blaze he has a concealed carry permit and carries his firearm everywhere that he can while he's off base. And his wife also carries. Outstanding. This is one of those stories that's going to be carry everywhere. This is why you carry everywhere. Before I even walked over, I told my wife to go to the front of the store with the kids and call the police. Said he then carefully approached the knife-wielding man and thought real hard about drawing my gun. He ultimately decided to keep a hand on his gun and let the guy know that he was armed rather than drawing it out of fear that he might cut the woman in a panic. I didn't have to draw. He knew I was armed. At that point, became a little more cooperative. I was pretty forceful in demanding him put the knife down. But the attacker ended up turning the knife on himself and threatened to commit suicide. Hey, don't talk about it, son. Do it. Don't get no argument from me. The National Guard guy proceeded to talk him down, telling him it wasn't worth it. He would assist him in getting some help. I just said, well, do what you got to do, dude. Step outside to do it, though, would you? Clean up on aisle 5. Finally, he said the man complied, dropped the knife, kicked it towards him, and he said he started to run away, but again followed orders, and the armed lieutenant told him to stop, sit down. So, there you go. Another good reason to carry everywhere you go. Number one reason I carry is to protect my family. He says it's a God-given constitutional right that I fully 100% stand behind. Secondly, I love my fellow Americans. If I'm in a position to help one of them, obviously I want to do that. I immediately felt responsible for that lady's life. If I'm in a position to help someone and I don't, I would feel just as bad as the guy who does wrong. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. With all this stuff going on, let me check and see what's going on here. with all the stuff that's going on in Canada, there's a top military official, Atlantic commander, told the soldiers in the Canada's eastern provinces to avoid wearing their uniforms in public out of fear of being targeted in the wake of this latest attack. In an email titled Urgent Measures, Rear Admiral John Newton, who commands the Maritime Forces Atlantic and Joint Task Force Atlantic, combined 23,000 personnel, tell soldiers to restrict movement in uniform in public as much as possible. So, when we start doing this, I feel like they're winning. When we have to change our lifestyle because of their actions, I take exception to that. I say, wear your uniform to wear, just don't change anything, just go like you normally do. However, we are going to, if you have a concealed carry permit or you've been trained, and then you will be carrying your sidearm. And, of course, I guess there's probably not any concealed carry permits in Canada. And when something happens, you know, we're going to We're going to have classes on situational awareness and just deal with it when it happens instead of, I don't know if that's the right thing. What do y'all think? Think it's the right thing to not wear your uniform? And there are other venues, other areas, other theaters where soldiers have been asked not to wear uniforms. But generally it is special operations people and stuff like that. So, I don't know. Seems to me like that means that they're getting over on us a little bit. Hey, Doc. I want to see it, man. Doc's got his secret project finished. I know what's going on there. I want to check that out. It sounds like a neat deal. So, just let us know when you get rich and famous, and remember where you got your first five items. Yeah, I'll tell you where to send the check later. No. Okay. What time is it? It's time for me to buy a watch, right? Hey, did you hear about? I don't have the story in front of me, but it was on the news earlier, a couple of times today. There was a group of guys, at least three. I'm not sure how big the group was. I never did hear that part, but I knew there was at least three of them. And they'd robbed someplace. They robbed someplace, and next thing you hear is 911. Can I have the address of your emergency? Something like that. Well, the guy never answered. He's saying, man, we should have took all that stuff. We got away scot-free. Well, what happened is they'd robbed someplace and took a whole bunch of stuff and managed to get out. Well, somehow he had butt-dialed 911 and told them the whole story. By the time they got through listening, they knew where they were at and how they got there, which direction they were going, all the stuff they took, where they took it from, and all of that. And now they're in jail. And I bet the other two guys are saying, you freaking idiot. All because of you and your cell phone. I knew a guy when I was a kid broke into a, he didn't break in. He went into a laundromat and was breaking into the, the vending machine, pinball machines and Coke machines and stuff. And when he was doing that, he was cleaning them out. Instead of locking them back, closing them up, he was just leaving them open. Anyway, he went out through a window instead of out through the door and dropped his wallet. Well, had his school ID and his learner's permit in there, and there you go. Doc, I am anxious. We'll spend some time talking about that when we get to check one out, and it will be very cool. I am very anxious to check that out. Okay. Well, we're getting pretty close to break time here, and in order to stick with our new format here, I need to bring something forward here. Wasn't quite ready for that. So let's do this. Yeah, this will work for now. All right. I shall return.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold grind. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel
drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden moan boys. Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Take that to the bank. babies and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would have happened again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. We damn sure fooled you. We're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
All right, we're back. Okay, let me find my most outrageous stories here. There's a kid, 11-year-old kid, down in, I read the story and I don't even remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter where he's at. He has received death threats, 11 years old. This whole hunting thing is driving me nuts. He killed an albino buck, good sized buck, whitetail. And matter of fact, the deer looks a little bigger than his. The rack is a little smaller than the deer looks like he ought to have. But anyway, this kid was. He's a hunter and has been hunting since he was born. Says he was born with canine teeth and a genetic makeup passed down over the course of mankind. He eats meat because he's meant to eat meat. He kills critters because they supply him with that meat. And yes, because he enjoys it. Does that offend you? The notion that my son enjoys hunting, that he enjoys the act of ambushing prey and killing it? Tough. Your disapproval has been noted and dismissed. Because your disapproval has absolutely no bearing on me or him. He's not your son. Last week, let's see, when was this dated here? Yeah, just dated 4 days ago. Said last week, 11-year-old Gavin Dingman killed the buck of several lifetimes when the Michigan youth hunter shot an albino deer near his home in southeast Michigan. Killing a white piebald or albino deer in Michigan is legal, as it should be. Soon after tagging the buck, Gavin's family did what I would have done. They shared the images and story on Facebook. They were proud of their son and his accomplishment. What followed was something they likely didn't expect. Hate-filled messages, ignorance-laden tirades, death threats. Yep, to an 11-year-old boy. Death threats. Here's one of the examples here. This father and his son should be shot through the lungs. Why would a father encourage his son to kill? And why would the son, I hate people that don't use punctuation. It just shows ignorance. Encourage his son to kill, and why would the son, they both are not worth the air that they breathe. Put them both in jail for the rest of their life. I've omitted the name of the lady who posted comments. Why? Because I have morals and values, things I learned from being a hunter. I have not corrected her rampant spelling and grammatical errors. Why? Yeah, I can notice that. Why? Well, I have just enough backwoods Billy in me to enjoy making folks look like idiots. Gavin's parents, I've been told, have received similar threats on their personal phones. An albino deer is a rarity. It is also a genetic mutation in most areas, means a very short life for the critter, unfortunate enough to inherit it. White deer don't live very long. There's a reason that deer were created with brown coats and white tails. It's camouflage, the kind that keeps them alive. The area that this kid hunts is densely populated. Subdivisions are as thick as fleas on a barnyard cat. The buck lived in a suburban area and has been seen fairly regularly by local residents who gleefully snapped photos of their deer. Somehow they thought that made the deer sacred. There are likely dozens of other deer in the area. I'm assuming they have normal coloration. Some might have had their photos taken as well, but they weren't special. Thus, the yuppies paid them no mind. Perhaps that's what disgusts me most about the people crying foul, as they have not a single clue what they're talking about. Every deer I've ever killed has been incredibly special to me. Almost every deer I've ever hunted is one that I've taken photos of, become familiar with, and built a relationship of sorts with it. I won't lie and say that killing deer didn't bring me a small pang of remorse. Of course it did. That's part of hunting, part of humanity. I feel that remorse because I'm aware of the animal's life. The folks threatening to kill an 11-year-old boy know nothing about that. They simply pull up to the drive-thru, order their burger, and scarf it down without giving a single thought to the fact that the flesh they're eating come from an animal that was once living and breathing, an animal that someone else killed for them, as if that makes it all better. Humanity is defined by relationships and understanding. When all your food comes wrapped in plastic and covered in special sauce, there is neither. Because of that, come to find it acceptable to threaten the life of an 11-year-old boy who legally killed a deer. Many of the comments focused on Gavin's dad and his barbaric teachings. How dare he teach his little boy to kill? What kind of a man will that hunting heathen become? Probably the same kind Wesley will become, because he was 11 when he killed his first one. I was 9 when I killed my first one. He'll become a man who understands the difference between right and wrong. He'll understand the balance of life and death, that there is not one without the other. He'll become the type of man that becomes infuriated at the ignorance displayed by cowards hiding behind a screen, the kind that threaten the lives of little boys. Hey, stand by. Hang on one second, guys. I'm going to play a little short deal here for you. Amy is trying to get a hold of me, and I need to let that happen. Hang on just a minute.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measure Radio or the owners or...
All right, we're back.
Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking...
Just me. All right, there we go. Well, Amy is on her way to bed. She's got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm not getting up too long after that. I've got to go down to Phoenix and pick her up tomorrow. So that was what I thought it was all about. Sorry for the interruption there. But she is, I hate to say it, she's more important to me than y'all are. Okay. There's, I hate to tell this story, but I'm gonna get two of them lined up here, and this is very much the. Let me find this other one. There we go. Very much shows how the society has degraded to a point that a lot of these people really are not worth killing. They're just not worth wasting a bullet on. Or the effort it would take to choke him to death, and it's just unbelievable. But there's a woman here. This is weird. She was in Connecticut, had to grab a gun in order to capture a naked man who was raping the woman's dog in the backyard. Now, in a minute, I'm not sure. not sure if it was rape. Hold on here a minute. She said, I thought my dog had killed somebody because I saw a man underneath her. I started to scream. I had a citronella candle, and I threw it at him, screaming, get off my dog. You have to get out of here. He said, no. He said, today we are going to spend the rest of our lives together. So she keeps this dog on a tow chain in the backyard. However, now this is the part that makes me wonder if it was rape. Said the dog remained calm during the attack. He pranced through the yard naked, yelling, this is our day and you have to prosper in it. ISIS sent me. And I was thinking, did something like this just land in my backyard? I ran in, got, now here's the stupid part. It's a good thing this guy was just a retard and not an actual ISIS person. I ran in, got my gun out of the bedroom, and realized, as usual, the ammunition is in my car, locked in the glove box. I showed him the clip and went in, but I always kept the gun at my side while I was talking to him. He kept saying, this is the plan, that we are going to die today in a massacre. He didn't seem to care that I had the gun, and I kept it down. Then I gave him a warning and shot the gun right into the dirt. So... Wow. Fortunately, the police arrived a little while later before it got into where it escalated anymore. And there's some things to learn here. Number one, unloaded gun, usually considered a paperweight. Now, you may be able to, with a fair amount of testicular fortitude and some training, you might be able to use that gun if it's empty through no fault of your own. Or you've shot it empty, you may still be able to use that in such a way as to create an uncomfortable situation for a bad guy. But it's highly inadvisable. Second thing, warning shots. Never. Never, ever are warning shots a good idea. In most places, they're illegal. She fired, at least she shot it into the ground, not up in the air. But, anyway, they said the suspect actually believed to be a mentally ill neighbor. He was being evaluated in an area hospital and expected to face several charges upon his release. And the dog said, come back. Still, it doesn't seem the presence of firearms stopped this incident, so it's going into the defensive gun use database. It does seem that the presence of the firearm stopped it. Oh, well. Wow. Okay, another one. Hang on a minute. Let me go see what's going on in the chat room here. I'll tell her rights at risk. Hopper, you know, you're right about that, and we talked about that at great length this last Saturday, the day before yesterday, during this disaster preparedness thing. And that is the fact that, as I've said many times, hunger is a tremendous motivator. And people will do about near anything for some semblance of something to fill their tummies up. Well, there's another one here. Now, this is sick. It kind of reminds me of one of the Death Wish movies. But there's a guy here, 35 years old, from Wichita, Kansas. He's charged him in sexual assault and burglary of a 100-year-old woman during a break-in at her home. The woman, who lives alone, told police intruders forced open the door of her home on September 29th. She says they were in her home for several hours. Police say forensic evidence linked this guy to the rape. He was documented as a gang member, being held in jail on $250,000 bond. The police chief here, or one of the cops, said all rapes are deplorable crime, but when you look at the age of the victim, it becomes a little bit more concerning, a little bit more disturbing, a little bit, hell, a lot. A guy told the police station it's a vile crime, and the fact that somebody victimized a 100-year-old female is a little bit harder for the detectives to really grasp. I'm having a hard time grasping that. If I had been there, I'm not sure if it'd be any easier. If I'd been there and saw it or was investigating, I'm not sure it'd be any easier to wrap my mind around. I guess if I think about it, it becomes a little easier. And precise, you know, that's a good idea. The gun would have just went off by itself. Yeah, you know, even if you're 100 years old, and evidently she was by herself, so evidently she can fend for herself, fix her meals, and get up and walk and go to the bathroom and do everything. So if she can do all of that, you know, she can probably shoot. And at 100 years old, I would have to guess that at some point in her life that she probably did, at least a little. So I keep telling people over and over and over, these stories like this are getting, it's just not your average, you know, hold the gun on the people, make them stand in the corner or stand with their face against the wall, let's take all this stuff and get out of here. It's a matter of, you know, let's take all this stuff and get out of here, and then let's terrorize these people to the worst possible degree just so we can let them know that we're the boss, and we're going to do that because we're all that in a bag of chips and we think we're cool. I don't know. But it's damn sure disturbing. And if I don't know why it's so hard to talk people into, you know, statistically it's still pretty unlikely. But speaking of statistics, look at the amount of attacks, home invasions, violent assaults and stuff going on around the country. And also look and see the states, the jurisdictions that they happen in. And I don't have that stuff in front of me right now, but I have looked it up, and quite obviously it happens more frequently where guns are less likely to be encountered. You see, that's why you see so much of this stuff in California and Oregon. And yeah, I know there's quite a few people in Oregon, Washington that carry a gun, but there's, comparatively speaking, there's not very damn many. So
It's a, really strange to me that we can't get people to carry a damn gun. I don't understand it. Well, anyway, let's move on here. I want to tell everybody that next weekend, well, next weekend we're not going anywhere. Next weekend we're going to have Kelly's birthday party. Since her birthday was on a Monday, we're going to have to stretch it out just a little bit. And have her birthday party on the weekend. And then the following weekend, 8th, 9th, and 10th, I'll be speaking in Young, Arizona at a survivalist renaissance. Weekend after that, I'll be at a preparedness fair in Kingman. Weekend after that, I might have a weekend off. It'd be very cool. But I may also be doing another disaster preparedness seminar. We've got a group over in Springerville that's trying to get people together for me to come over there. They're going to try to have it done by the 22nd. And then I know, at least for the time being, that I have nothing going on the first weekend of December. So we'll take that as it comes here. You know, the people that didn't like the kids shooting the albino deer, those are the same kind of people that, hang on a minute, I just had this video up here. What happened to it? Are you kidding me? There it is. I was looking through, I was getting Amy some stuff. You know, this was our anniversary here last, when was it? Friday, 24th. And UN Day, actually. We got married at a UN flag burning ceremony, a rally that we used to have every October 24th. We had a UN flag burning. This is the first time that we've missed it for either 5 or 6 years. Anyway, I was looking through these things. One of the things that she wanted, just for nostalgic reasons, two things actually. She wanted, you guys may remember the little book, Little Black Sambo. Well, they are still around. You can still find them, and there's a nostalgic, deal to them. And so I got a couple of them. They're real cheap. The other one is Song of the South. And I was looking down through here. It took a little while to find an actual copy of Song of the South. There's different things that refer to music and, different songs and groups and all this kind of stuff. And so it took a little while to sort this out. So I was reading the reviews on this book, and I cut and pasted one here that I had to share with you. I don't know what this 3.5-year-old boy is going to grow up into. I don't know what these parents are. I saw stuff with Brer Rabbit and all this Curious George and all this kind of stuff, you know, my whole life. I can remember watching when I was, even before I can remember. This lady said, I haven't seen the whole movie yet because my 3.5-year-old asked me to stop it. He squirmed through Brer Fox trying to eat Brer Rabbit and the buzzard trying to eat him and the alligator, but when the bear had him, it was too scary. He's seen Curious George, Toy Story 2, and Little Bear Movie and enjoyed them. You can gauge from that whether this is appropriate for your little ones. You have got to be kidding me. What this 3.5-year-old boy is going to grow up into is certainly a man. Anyway, let me get off that. It's break time again. Let's see if we can find something else here, and we'll be right back.
I've got a good woman at home who thinks I do no wrong. But sometimes, Lord, she just ain't always around. And you know that's when I fall. I can't help myself at all. And I get songs about a rambling man. Put a cold one in my hand. 'Cause you know I love to hear those guitar sounds. But don't you play, I'm so lonesome I could cry. 'Cause I'll get all balled up inside. And I'll get up with me. When I thought of
come find me when I'm in bed asleep.
All right, we're back. We've got a couple more stories here. I'm going to cut out a little early tonight. Like I said earlier, when the time changes next weekend, the only way that I'm going to be able to, well, not the only way I'm going to be able to, but the easiest way that I can figure out to do this without messing up everybody else's time schedule is to just go for an hour. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday will be an hour. And Friday will remain the same. I'm not going to mess up Liberty Lounge for you. It's going to start at the same time and go on for the same 2 hours. So that's not going to change. Tomorrow night, there will not be a live show. I'll put an archive on for you for Concretin' to start. I'll pick a good one from way back and put it in there. And then the rest of the week should be as normal. So now I still don't know what's going to happen, even though I'm only going to an hour. Let's see, if I go to an hour, it'll be 9 o'clock. Oh no. Okay, now Wednesdays will be good, because since I have to start at 9 o'clock my time, that's not going to interfere with my Boy Scouts. So Wednesdays will go on uninterrupted and be just fine. So from time to time, we got more stories. We'll run over a little bit, and I may do 2 hours sometime if we got a lot to talk about. But anyway, we're going to plan on just an hour. In Seattle, there's a school board there, unbelievable, that has voted to replace Columbus Day. Ready? Seattle, Washington, they're replacing Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. Yep. Remember, you heard it first here on the Shooting Bench. Indigenous Peoples. Yeah, Indigenous Peoples Day. That's what Columbus Day is going to be from now on. School Board in Seattle unanimously resolved on Wednesday to direct public schools across the city to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day on the second Monday of each October. That Monday has been the federal holiday of Columbus Day since 1970. Columbus Day has been a federal holiday in some form in the United States since 1937. Local Fox affiliate notes the resolution declares that the Seattle School Board recognizes the fact that Seattle is built on the homelands and villages of the Indigenous peoples of this region, without whom the building of the city would never have been possible. A couple of things. Yes, it would have been possible. No, you're not building on the homelands and villages of the Indigenous people. You're building on the land that people bought and managed to acquire, however they acquired it, doesn't matter, because the people that own it now are not the same people that took it, stole it, bartered it, whatever, when they obtained it to begin with. So both of those are incredibly stupid. Now, they're going to find out on their school calendar, since it is a federal holiday, that they're still going to get that day off. They're still going to probably get paid for it. And it's still going to say Columbus Day on the calendar and everything, but they want their people to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day. So, am I a fan? No. I'm not a real big, I don't really care one way or the other what they do with Columbus Day. It's just so stupid. How dumb is this story? Unbelievable. Wow. The Punkin' Cat, you're going to, oh, that's Rise at Risk banging your head over there. Punkin' Cat, if you're not already gone, well, good night. And hopefully after starting next week, you'll be able to do the whole show because we're going to go to an hour. So I kind of hate to. You know, that's going to be kind of different for me because I've been 2 hours since there was a short time that I did 3 hours, but it was just once a week. Back, in AM radio, I think, for a little while. But I've been doing 2 hours for 5 years. Since just before, no, almost right exactly the same time that Amy and I got married, give or take, 2 weeks. All right, exactly at that time, I went to 2 hours, and I've done 2 hours for 5 years this month. So it's going to be different for me to do that. But that's the best thing that I can come up with. I can't keep doing 2 hours. You know, the 2 hours I can do, I just don't want to be forced to stay up till 11 o'clock 5 nights a week. So I hate to do this to you, but that's the only logical way that I can find to come up with it. Rights at Risk, you know, that's exactly what I'm doing because you guys are family. And I do like to spend time. I just have two families, and I have to divide my time up appropriately between the two families. So that's the big news in the Shooting Bench right now. You guys, we found out that our online store works great. The first one I've ever had that works really so easy and so good and so well. Excuse me. And not too late. You know, that's an idea. I tell you what I am going to do. When we go to an hour, unless I need to get up and do something or whatever, there's not going to be any breaks, and we probably won't play any music until Friday nights. I'm going to try to stuff as much information into an hour as I can and still be, legible, not cram it in there too hard. But, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. But our online store works great. It's the best, easiest, most efficient one that I've ever had. And what I've got on there, I haven't gone out of my way to put a whole lot more stuff on there. It's colloidal silver generators, silver, the colloidal silver manual, both in paper form and in CD form. The Glock Armorer's manual, both in paper form and CD form. And Glock dry practice kits, and let's see here, my books, and I can't remember what all else. I think there's not very much stuff for right now, and I'm not really trying real hard to put a whole lot more stuff on there. I may get some bumper stickers and stuff like we had before and put on there. But the shootingbench.us, the other thing that's on the deal is a donation button where you can click and get and donate to the show. But that's at the shootingbench.us. The shootingbench.info is our podcast. That hasn't changed. And I've got those pretty well caught up, I think. I need to go in there and check. I'm not going to do it tonight and probably not going to do it tomorrow night. I may do it Wednesday and try to make sure that I'm caught up with the podcast. But the reason I'm going to cut out a little bit earlier tonight is because I've got to jump up extra early in the morning and drive a little over 3 hours, go down and pick up my lover and get her back here. We'll probably stop down in Phoenix and have some breakfast and catch up on her. She's been gone. Now since she's been gone over 2 weeks, and 4 or 5 days of that I was with her out there in California. So let's see, it would have been a week ago yesterday that I did the Glock Armorer's class out there. So that would have been on the 18th and 19th. I left on the 16th. She left on the 14th. So she's tomorrow will be exactly 2 weeks that she's been gone. So I'm going to be anxious to see her. All right, we have another. Now, this story surprised me to death right here. I could knock me over with a feather. I could not believe this. Brad Pitt, of all people, has been a gun owner since he was in kindergarten, he says. A very long time. He told Radio Times that he inherited his grandfather's gun when he was a child. There was a rite of passage when I grew up of inheriting your ancestors' weapons. He said, my brother got my dad's. I got my grandfather's shotgun when I was in kindergarten. He revealed that he was given an air gun first and got the shotgun at age 6. He said his first fired a handgun at age 8. The husband of Angelina Jolie and father of 6 added in the interview that he doesn't really feel that his family is safe unless there's a gun in his home. The positive is that my father instilled in me a profound and deep respect for the weapon. He was born in Oklahoma and raised in Missouri. Now, I'm going to tell you what. That changes my whole attitude towards Brad Pitt. That just amazed me to find that story. So, the rights at risk, I'm going to try. It's probably going to take her a day or two. She's taken this thing pretty tough, what's going on out there, and I can't believe her. I'm going to tell you what, my mother-in-law was an awesome woman. I loved her to death. She was neat. I wish I could have spent more time with her. She was a neat, very active, very healthy woman right up until that last little while. And I hate it. I hate it for Amy and hate it for the whole family out there. And so it may be a couple of days or so before she gets her feet under her again. But that sounds like a coyote bark. I've got to run here just a minute. Stay, hang out there, and I'll be back.
What a beautiful mansion he built you. Splendor, Lord, you've got it. Wall to wall. And yet, with all of that, you're still not happy. 'Cause every time he's gone, I get your
slide off of your satin sheets, slip into your long soft
right, there you go. Sure enough, there was a coyote out there, or a dog or something. I can always tell. We've had two of them here in the last 3 or 4 days, early in the morning. And they figured out where there's chickens and goats and stuff, and they just can't figure out how to get in there. But I can always tell when there's been a coyote, because by this time of night, the goats are usually laying down somewhere or in their little building or something. And you can always tell when there's a coyote, because they all stand up and look out the fence, looking towards the same direction, which is always away from me. And they all stand there and watch in the weeds, in the trees over there. So I know there's one out there. I just couldn't see him, couldn't get a shot at him. But I'll keep that .22 Magnum handy tonight, and may go out there and nail one before it's over with. Okay, well, guys, I hate to leave on you early, but I have got to get to bed. I get some rest last couple of nights, and partly because of coyotes, I've had a hard time sleeping. So I'm going to try to get enough rest so that I can get up early and drive down to Phoenix in the morning. No show tomorrow night. Again, I'll put on a good archive for you. And Wednesday night, we'll be back in all of our splendor and off to the races, ready to go. And then starting next week, next Monday, we'll start doing just 1 hour from 9 to 10. Well, that would be mountain time. Actually, I guess there's no reason for me to say, Arizona people, BB Burner, it will be from 9 to 10 our time, which will be mountain time now. And everybody else, it'll be 8 to 9 Pacific time. Make sense? Good. See you Wednesday night. Thanks for joining me, guys.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.